reach the power of sin and darkness. Whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder. Who breathes us breath. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. That I would be set free. I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings.
Who rules?
Truth and justice shines like the sun in all of his brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Jesus, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place.
stars they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon.
Is risen. Freedom. yesterday, Pastor Gay and I had an opportunity to be in the room just a few minutes after Brenda Rogers passed. And the family, in the midst of the loss, of course, they grieved. But there was a moment when it seemed to all leave. And a freedom and a joy. You could look around the room. The entire family was reflecting it on their face. And that's the hope we have. That's the God we serve. That no matter what the circumstances look like, how dark it may seem, that Jesus reigns in this place. And it's a mercy and a grace that goes beyond description. You know, some would look at that and say, well, they're just fooling themselves. Well, they can fool themselves all the way to heaven then, if that's what it is. Right? Right? I'll fool myself all the way to heaven then. Call me a fool, call me crazy, call me insane, but I will be insane for Jesus. And I believe that that family received a grace because they're insane for Jesus as well. So let's sing it one more time and think about our loved one, because she's loved in our hearts. And we're family in faith, which is just as strong as far as I'm concerned. You have something to share?
We have prayed for Brenda, and we have believed. But what the Lord is really impressing on my heart and what he was speaking to me about when the word came last night is that he cares. He cares about Brenda. He cares about Dan. He cares about that whole family. But the Lord cares about everything. He cares that Jesse's mom hurts with arthritis. He cares that the French family has cold. He cares that Esther passed away and the family is grieving. He cares when our babies are teething. He cares because he is our Father and he fills us up with his love. So we have freedom. We have freedom in this time of sorrow. But we have freedom and we have the strength from Almighty God. So don't walk away not believing that the Lord has touched you. That you aren't free. No matter what the ache is, no matter what the disappointment is, we are free. We are free. We are free indeed. Thank you, Jesus.
Spirit of the Lord is Sometimes in the natural, we look at that type of situation that happened with the Rogers, and you're like, well, how can there be so much joy in such a sorrowful time? Well, it's the joy of the Lord that comes in, and He provides that. And sometimes we look at our situations, and we're like, well, maybe, I don't know how to have that joy. I don't know, because I haven't experienced it myself. And when we go through those hard times, when we go through losing a loved one, when we go through a financial crisis, when we go through a marriage crisis or a relationship crisis, whatever it may be, losing your job to the car breaking down to whatever, and you're like, I don't know how to find joy in this situation because it's really, really bad. That's when you say, you know what, God? Here's my problem. You already know what the outcome is. You already know what's going to happen. I'm just going to give it to you. And you're going to take care of me because I'm your kid. Because we don't know how to deal with it when it comes to those bad situations in our natural mind. But our spirit man just says, God, I'm going to trust you in this. Even though I can't see on the other side of this rock or this mountain or whatever it is that's standing in front of you, just because you can't see past it, God already has it figured out on the other side. You just have to trust Him to carry you through it and say, okay, God, I'm going to step here because you stepped here. I'm going to step here because you stepped here. And don't deviate from where He steps, because when we decide to deviate, we fall off the mountain. Father God, we just surrender to you, Father God. Lord, and we find freedom in your presence, Father God. Lord, you have everything figured out, Lord. And we submit to your way, Father God, just to carry us through, Lord. As I sing the song, because Lord knows I can't sing, as we bring the song back up, if you could take a step of faith and say, you know what, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you in this situation. I'm going to trust you even though it seems like there's no outcome possible here. There's no way that bill's going to get paid. There's no way my marriage is going to get saved. There's no way that I can possibly see, but I'm going to trust you anyways. If that's you, as we bring this song back up, I just want you to make that step of faith forward and just give it to the Lord, okay?
Thank you. Jesus reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. Jesus reigns. Just to know you, Jesus, there's no one beside you. Forever the hope in my heart. Oh, to be like you, give all I have just to know you. Jesus, there's no one beside you. Love that my soul will live.
Have been open, an army your dry bones is starting to rise. Death is defeated. We are victorious. You are alive. To a God we lift up one voice. To a God we lift up one song. To a God we lift up one voice. Sing hallelujah. To a God we lift up one voice. To a God we lift up one song. God, we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah, 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 sing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Make his praise glorious, glorious, glorious. For his name is glorious, glorious, glorious.
Shout his name.
Shout his name.
Worship and family.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Lord, you're so worthy. Words really cannot describe how worthy, how amazing, how awesome you are. But hallelujah does pretty good. Hallelujah is a pretty good way to describe you. You are amazing, Lord. And we do. We sing hallelujah to you. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. We honor you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We thank you and we're grateful, Lord, that we can be, Lord, your children, that we have this honor of praising your name. We have this honor of not seeing you. We still worship and adore you. What an honor. What a rich inheritance we have, Lord, to worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for putting love in our hearts for you. We just bless your name. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't you take a moment, greet someone, love them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, team. Praise the Lord.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. You're such a friendly crowd today. So if everybody can make their way to their seats, we're going to go ahead and continue on. So we're not really sure with regard to this week what's going to happen about the Rogers service and how that's all going to play out, but I still wanted to capture all of you today because it was the only day to do that. So I am going to send around a sign-up sheet, and it just says Rogers Family Support. Now, let me just clarify that we're going to not just need things for service time, but we're also going to need things prior to and after because we really want to love on them and take meals over and not make it just be about the one day, but about support through the whole time. And so this sign-up sheet is a little bit more detailed than normal, and what it looks like is obviously a lot of food, and you can pick what you'd like, but please make sure when you put your name down that you also add your phone number because I'd like to either text you or call you to give you information about what's going on. And on the back side, there's more. There's another whole page, and that is for desserts. But it also says other. And what that other means to me, at least, as I was making this sign-up sheet, is if you're not capable or willing to make food or can make food, if you would like to do their yard work or if you would like to go and clean the house or you would like to walk the dog, I mean, you know, just whatever, just mark that. And mark what that other details, like lawn or, you know, house cleaning or whatever, and put your name and phone number. And if none of those things fit your sphere, we would be happy to collect a donation that will go toward going and purchasing food if we need to. Someone's already given graciously this morning in that area. So if that's the case, please don't clip your money on the board. because we'd like to make sure that we get it. So if you'd like to hand it to Pastor Mike or I after the service, that would be great. And then that could actually go toward us going and buying a ton of pizzas, because they have a lot of little ones, and kids love pizza, and they love fried chicken. So I'm going to pass this around, and if it runs out, you guys, there's a second sheet that's half empty. Just start filling that out, okay? So, and again, I will call everybody and let them know service time and what we need. And so I'd really appreciate any help that y'all could give us. Thank you. Oh, one more thing. Happy Mother's Day, ladies. Up here on this thing, whatever that's called, monitor, is a gift for you if you'd like to come up after service. It's beautiful note cards that I found, and it's a packet each. So just take a whole packet for yourself. And there's a whole lot left over afterwards, you might even be able to come up and get a second one. But just for now, let's take one until we know that we have enough.
And why don't you call the kids up?
Oh, children, come forward.
Children, come forth.
Yeah. Children, come forth. Must.
Amen.
Come on, babies, let's go.
So today is communion, so you guys are going to go downstairs, and I'm going to share a little bit, and then we'll have you guys come back up. And I think I've had whispered in my ear, or text message to me, one of the two, but Zeke, is today your birthday? Hey, happy birthday, Zeke! Let's see if we can do this. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Zeke. Happy birthday to you. Hey, hey! Speech. No, not speech. He won't stop. Love you, brother. Okay, guys, we'll see you in a little bit. Thank you, little bug, for that. Speaking of bugs, this is not about the sermon, but it's very interesting, I think. We've been at Zeke's, we've been watching some videos on DNA and how that DNA is like almost an exact representation of, well, the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, the kind of the whole principles of communication, and how even our language is like DNA. And it's not a lot I can get into right now, of course, fly over some of my heads, because I've had to watch the videos like three times, like, okay, go in this time. But in studying this, you become more aware and kind of catch DNA articles and information. There's all kinds of stuff out there, what they're doing. But they took this week, and how many of you know we live in really extreme times? I mean, extreme times of you know, what is going on in the world, storms, catastrophes, but also extreme times of, you know, kind of political unrest. But we're also living in, you know, and extreme times of the medical industry and science. But I want to also say we're living extreme times, I believe, of God's glory and his power and his anointing. But in these extreme times, there's some scientists who took DNA, and they took a bug, and they added code to the DNA. But they didn't just add it, like manipulating the existing code. They added new letters to the code. And so guess what they used to do this, you know, experiment with? E. coli. If you guys know E. coli is a very, very dangerous bug. And so they decided to take E. coli and start manipulating it. So, speaking of bug, I was saying, I think I sent to Jesse, when he, I think you sent me the article, didn't you? I said, are they making a super bug now? Let's pray that it then, and let's just believe God that we're not ever going to be affected by anything that man tries to create, that we're segregated and separated by the blood of Jesus. Amen? So today, speaking of the blood of Jesus, that is what we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to share about. We have come as a church, as a family of believers, to a greater revelation of what it means to take communion, that it is not a symbolic or traditional act, but that it actually is a opportunity is for us to exchange our, you know, natural state for his supernatural state, to exchange our living with his supernatural living. That common union is what communion means, is that we have a oneness with him. And when we take of communion, we're experiencing that oneness. That it's not just, you know, it's, and let's see if I can keep from spilling this time. Last time I spilled it all over the place, remember? I started preaching with this still in my hand. Sip it down? Really, that's hard for me to do that because it's like, oh, it's just grape juice right now. Okay. It hasn't been blessed yet, yeah. Who knows when it becomes, you know, supernaturally something takes place. That's what we're saying, is that in taking the juice and the bread, that it is not just a representation, I believe, of the body and the blood, but that it actually supernaturally becomes. Yes, supernaturally becomes, and we participate in the power that is in these two elements. And the one element that I want to talk about today is the blood itself. I was actually with the Rogers yesterday and talking to Danny's brother, Randy, and he was talking about something, and immediately when he said it, the Lord told me, the life is in the blood. And he wasn't talking about that, but I knew immediately I was supposed to share on that. So as I started studying, I started getting excited because I picked up on more revelation. And I believe it's revelation that the Lord wants for us to have today, that we're not ignorant of these things anymore, that we're not just doing things because we've always done them, but that we're doing them because they have power, because they are transforming. They are not something that is just something good to do, it's something vital to do. And as Jesus said, life is in it. So, without further ado, let me get to, because some of you are looking puzzled, so, which I'm pretty used to, by the way, because it can be pretty puzzling listening to me, I know. In Genesis chapter 9, and I think starting at verse 2, this is right after Noah has come out of the ark, and he's basically establishing himself on dry ground, and I don't know if any of you have seen the movie. I haven't seen the movie, so I don't want to make even references to the movie, but this is a change in the whole world system. It's changed environmentally because before the flood, there was actually a canopy that covered the entire earth. And the earth was separated from the UV rays that we now experience. People lived into their hundreds, multiple hundreds. 800-900 years wasn't uncommon. That's because their bodies were not subjected to what our bodies are subjected to today. Previous to the flood, the man did not eat animals. Now, for those of you who are meat eaters, you're probably born in the right era then. Because if you watch what God commanded man, is that they would eat of the fruit, the leaves, the vegetables, all the things that grew. And, because you see, you hear about Noah having all these animals come together. How come they're not eating each other? Well, the animals didn't eat each other either. Some of you look like, is that really true? Go back and read Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and it's explained. But listen to this. This is God telling Noah now the new guidelines for animals because something changed when they came out of that ark. And it says, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth and every bird of the air and all that move on the earth and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. Now, this is new because before the plants, the fruit, the vegetables were their food. But now the living animals would be food for them. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. So in other words, I've given you these animals now, even as I gave you the herbs of the field. Now listen to this, though. But you shall not eat flesh with its life. That is its blood. So, amen. Sarah's saying that because she does not like rare meat or anything close to mooing. It's got to be burnt, dead, and Nettie said, amen. Actually, Nettie needs things charred. If it looks like you would not eat it, hand it to Nettie. She'll take care of it for you. But it's a good amen, too, for the reason that it says this. But you shall not eat its flesh with its life. Now, notice that it's saying that there's life that this person is going to be eating. There's something about this that's not just blood, it's life. Let's go to Genesis 6. Didn't. I think it's 6:10. No, sorry. 4. Genesis 4. Genesis 4 and starts at verse 9. This is the experience that happened between Cain and Abel. If you guys aren't familiar with that Bible story, what happened is that Cain and Abel brought sacrifices before the Lord, and it says that Abel's sacrifice was accepted. Cain's wasn't. Cain became jealous, furious, and ended up killing his brother. In verse 9, it says, and the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. So here we have blood speaking. So it sounds like there's something going on with blood more than just red substance that comes out when we're cut, right? Okay. Let's go to Leviticus, or you can just write these down. You don't have to try to keep up with me, but Leviticus chapter 17, verse 10. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 10. And whatever man of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell among you who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood. And will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, no one among you shall eat blood, nor shall any stranger who dwells among you eat blood. Then it goes on to say, whatever man of the children of Israel, the strangers who dwell among you, who hunts and catches an animal or bird that may be eaten, he shall pour out its blood and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. Its blood sustains its life. Therefore, I said to the children of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any flesh. For the life of all flesh is its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. Those are pretty strong words. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. Deuteronomy 12:23 says this, only be sure that you do not eat the blood, for the blood is the life. You may not eat the life with the meat. You shall not eat it. You shall pour it on the earth like water. You shall not eat it, that it may go well with you and your children after you, when you do what is right in the sight of the Lord. So here we have God giving very, very, very strict commandments. If they weren't followed, they would be literally cut off from their people. That means they would become an outcast. That means that they would not be accepted in the Jewish family. They would not be accepted in the Jewish community. They would have to become, a roamer of Agdabon, go someplace else. Because what they did would cut them off. Now, I would say that we, you know, as Gentile nation for the most part, I mean, there may be someone in here that actually has a Jewish background, but even Jews pretty much have kind of forgotten their roots. But I would say for most of us, we don't even really consider, you know, about, you know, other than maybe draining the meat when we're hunting, but making sure that all the blood's out of an animal. I mean, probably as much as we can. But if we get a little bit, it's not a big deal, except Sarah and maybe Nettie. But my point being is that there's something going on in this that God does not want us to participate in, or did not want the Jews to participate in, because of its value. The blood had value. And this is what I want us to understand, is that there is value in the blood. And it's not just that it is, you know, something that flows around our body and it is used for carrying our immune things that go around us and keeps us healthy. It's meant to make sure our systems and our organs are all functioning properly. But it's more than that. If you look at this word life, it's the same Hebrew word for soul. It's the same word for soul. You can go and look that up. It's pretty amazing. It actually says, as a man thinks in himself, as a man thinks in his life, it's the same Hebrew word, so is he. So the blood is actually the life. The blood is actually the soul. Now, I'm sure that probably in the coming days, science is going to prove more of this, that there's things going on in our blood that we can't see right now. It may be that our blood has the ability to communicate. Thus, God's saying, I hear it. How many know that God's on another frequency? He's not on our frequency. Now, how many of you know that we can get on his frequency? We're not subject to just this frequency, praise God. Because if I was just subject to hear the noise of this life, I would be in a world of hurt. Because I would still be walking around in the dark, trying to find my way, and hopefully make it through life unscathed. But at 19, I started hearing his frequency. It was the Holy Spirit started telling me that I needed to get my life together. Started saying, son, there's more to life than life. And you know what? I started listening. And that frequency, God's language, Holy Spirit, has led me to this point, 30-something years later. But I'm here to tell you that God's frequency, I believe, allows him to hear our blood. Even though it doesn't make sense, somehow our blood speaks. Obviously, it was speaking when Abel's blood was on the ground. Now get this, it says that Jesus' blood is speaking. Did you guys know that? We've read it before. Back in Hebrews 12, it says that Jesus' blood speaks better things than that of Abel's blood. And Jesus' blood is speaking of what? They are forgiven. Their sins are gone, Father, because my blood is working even now. His blood is an eternal work. Turn with me to John 6. I'll just get to the good stuff here. That was just precursor. This is going to be jumping. This is going to be shouting. This is going to be, you're going to need to go back and soak on this. You're going to need to go back and chew on this. You're going to need to go back and receive this, because I believe these two elements here that we get to participate in because of the work of the cross are going to have more value and more power in your life because of it. Praise God. John 6:53. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Now we can read that as Gentiles and we can go, "Oh, wow, okay, I'm going to do that." And we can sometimes in our own mind think that we're doing it, you know, for lack of a better term, an imaginary standpoint. That, you know, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, participate with Jesus by reading my word, by praying and following him and giving up my life, that's part of it. But he's really talking about communion, folks. That is what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about communion, because later on he says, this bread that he's breaking with the disciples, this is my body, right? Now here he's talking about his body. And Jesus in another place says, this is my body that is broken for you. Then he takes a cup and he says, this is the New Testament. This is the new covenant in my blood. So now he's saying, as often as you do this, you're remembering me. But he's also declaring what these two elements are, his body and his blood. Okay? Now keep in mind, when he said that to the Jews, they're the same ones who heard about, don't eat and drink the blood of an animal. And then Jesus has the audacity to say, you got to drink my blood. No wonder they were ready to stone him. Because they were receiving it in their natural mind. They were receiving it in their frequency. There was divine communication going on there that they weren't picking up on. And most of us haven't to this day. Most of us have neglected the weighty substance of this right here. Most of us have been ignorant to the weighty substance of these two elements right here. Because I'm telling you, today when you drink this, you're drinking life. You're drinking the soul of God. We've got to get this. Our lives depend on it. Our existence depends on it. We can no longer let these just become elements that are part of a tradition, but they have got to be something that we not revere and worship these, but that we realize that these represent the very substance of God. And he has laid them out for us, and he has given us this life. That's why he goes on to say, listen to this, whoever eats my flesh, whoever drinks my blood, has everlasting life. Are we talking about a day that when we receive this revelation that we don't die? Could that be what's going to take place? That the divine transformation of our bodies takes on DNA that is literally from heaven? We have to understand that this is not a natural substance. This is a supernatural substance that is ours to participate in and commune with. And the divine essence of God comes in and lives in us. This is divine. This is holy. This is what the Catholics started to understand. This is the tradition they carried, that only a priest could hold it. It was not meant for just a priest to give to someone. It is so freely given that each of us can participate in this every single day of our lives. We can drink of the blood of the Savior. And I don't care how gross that is, because that's what it represents. This juice supernaturally comes inside of us and we take on divine life. And I will raise him up at that last day. Could this be the last day that our bodies are not going to be raised up, but they're going to be raised up in a resurrection life, that we walk and we talk like Jesus and he lets us become a manifestation of the presence and life of God here on earth? And it could be just so simple that we've had it for so long, but we've neglected the weight of it. The life is in the blood. And he said, this is his soul. It's a divine covenant. It goes beyond human understanding. It is the frequency of God that brings life. My words to you are frequency and life. They're spirit. God's spirit is all around us at all times. You can't get away from it. You can go to a bar and try to run, but it's there. You can run to hell and it's there because he's everywhere. But are we dialed in? Praise God. The veil is being taken off. How many times have I read this? My whole life. But he's now saying, son, daughter, children, it's time to eat and drink with new minds and new hearts. It's time to eat and drink and feast on me and take in the life that's waiting for you. I believe that our body and all the bodies who participate in this in Yakima could start walking with no sickness and disease. With no sickness and disease. Because where Christ is, disease can't stand. And when we remember what these do, when we remember the work of the cross, and we literally eat his flesh and drink his blood, we become like him. We take on his character. We take on his nature. We take on his DNA. Our blood is changed to his frequency. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, abides in me, and I in him. This is an opportunity to have him dwell in you like never before. Somebody say, well, I feel God's away from me. Well, that's a lie of the enemy. But I'm telling you what, if you participate in this with eyes of faith, you can't participate this with your natural mind. You can't say, well, Pastor Mike said this, so I'm just going to try it. Well, you can try that, but you've got to receive this in your heart by faith. You've got to realize that when I take a bite of this today, I'm feasting on the Savior's flesh, which it says the flesh is the veil that was torn so that we have access into the very throne room of God, into his very presence. And folks, it is not in just some kind of cerebral way that we do it either. We're literally entering into his presence. One of these days, we're going to start seeing that and realizing that. And when we go, we'll have the reverence and the honor, and we'll expect the results that that kind of audience should get with the one that created everything. Instead of going up and saying, oh, please help me, you know, we'll go, Father, you own it all. Take care of this. And he says, son, daughter, you know what? It's done. That's when mountains move. That's when authorities in your life have no more authority anymore. Whether it's an addiction, whether it's some kind of complex you have because the enemy's lied to you, that's when those things are broken. And there is freedom. As the living Father sent me, keep in mind he's alive. He's alive in us. And he's working in this day like he's never worked before. Holy Spirit's a busy, busy, busy man right now. He is working in his people. He says, I am getting them ready, Lord. Get ready for an army because they're coming. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. How many of you want to start to live? How many of you are tired of existing? I think there's a difference between existing and living. And we're called to live. We're called to be alive. We're called to be salt, seasoning this world. But I believe this salt's about to become molten hot, where we're going to be an energy source, where we're going to be the very essence of God. Why? Because we commune with him. We used to take communion here once every other month. And I asked for your forgiveness when I said we're switching to once a month. But we're in the works, folks, of making it so that over here on every Sunday during worship you can take communion. Why? Because of the value of it. Not because we want to be doing communion more than anybody else, but because this right here is life. Isn't this exciting? I told Jesse, I said, I don't know what's going to come out, but I just have a feeling it's going to be something. Because I'm like burning on fire here. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Folks, I'm ready to live forever. I'm so thankful that when we leave this life as saints and we have not received glorified bodies yet, that we go and we're with the Lord. To be absent from the body is presence with the Lord. But I'm ready to live forever here. And again, I may just be crazy enough to believe that if Enoch did it, if Elijah did it, if we're in a significant day of transformation that the world is not even looking like, I can't even understand it half the time, the stuff that they're doing. I guess three women just got married last week in Massachusetts. Yeah, it's sick, but they're lost. They don't know any better. There's not the light that they need. I'm saying it's time we shine, folks. It's time we shone as Jesus did on the Mount of Transfiguration. I'm ready to blaze for the Lord. Not for anything for me, but for him. If he so chooses to raise us up in this day so that we don't even look recognizable anymore, someone bumps into us like, have I met you before? You look? You tell them who you are. No, you're not. Yeah, that's me. No, something. Yeah, I've been changed. How did that happen? Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you about the one that changes you. And it's not just some thing in your heart anymore. He's transforming our very DNA. Is this radical? You bet it's radical. But so is a sinless man going to the cross for you and I. That's pretty radical. Someone who did not even deserve 1 ounce of punishment took every piece of it for us so that this would become reality. Let's go get the kids. I'm ready to eat. I'm just telling you, I am. I'm like, ha, 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 I want this. Okay, good, good. Can you find just some music, Jesse? Yeah. So Stephen has suggested something really good. When the kids come up, I want us just all to gather up here together because I think this is going to be a solemn moment. I really believe that we're going to take a new step as a family of believers. I believe we're going to cross a threshold. The threshold is a place into a new intimacy with God. And some of you, I believe, will experience things in their body. I believe some of you will feel a sensation. It's because the reality of the power of these substances are going to come alive to you. And I believe that some of you are going to start experiencing this on a more regular basis at home, and you're going to have a testimony of things that were in your body that are now healed. Excuse me? Oh, and if there's babies in the nursery, could you please get your baby, bring them up here so we can all do this as a family? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Do you want to share? Yeah.
So we had talked earlier this week just about me talking about the elements, and it's so crazy because everything I had written on my notes is what you just conveyed. So many times, I mean, I've grown up in the church, I've done communion, I can't even tell you how many times, and it's just been a ritual. I'm guilty of it. And I wrote in my notes, this is a supernatural function that we do with our spirit, man. It's not a ritual. This is not something we just do to say, to check it off our list because we believe. This is a supernatural function that we, like my dad has said, we are truly drinking the lifeblood of Jesus. We are going to become like him because we are him.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to, you know, the little ones, if you have a little one, don't think that it's beyond them. Because let me tell you, my daughter can pray for you better than anybody that you can pull out of the woodwork. Because she can, they're so innocent and they're so pure, and they are gifts from the Lord. Don't count your children out, because they are so important to the kingdom of God. You know, help them with the juice, help them with the whatever. They may not understand in their mind, but let me tell you, their spirit, man, understands.
Amen.
Because this is a connection with our spirit to our Heavenly Father. Can you say amen? Say amen? Say amen. She won't do it right now, but she likes to say it.
She's on the spot.
So, you want to take it?
No, go ahead. Sir.
So, if your kid is up and the rest of your family's up, let's just go ahead and gather at the altar. It'll be a little tight, so, you know, get friendly with your neighbor next to you. It's all right. Make sure I want everybody to make sure you grab a juice and a cracker as we prepare to do this. Ian. Shh. All right. So, in 1 Corinthians 11, 24 through 26, this is in the ESV, and it reads, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you, for me.'" I want everybody to say that. This is my body for you. This is the Lord talking. "This is my body for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father God, we just thank you so much for your sacrifice that you made on the cross, Father God. Father God, as we take this, Lord, Father God, we thank you, Father God. We are taking this and are a part of that sacrifice, Father God. Go ahead and take. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This cup is the new covenant in my life. This cup is the new covenant in you." This is all my rendition. "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Go ahead. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you, Father God, for your life, Father God. God, we thank you that our spirits are so knit with yours, Father God, that we can walk in the same frequency as you walk in, Father God. We thank you for your sacrifice, Father God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, now, God, I just pray, Lord, that your words that have been spoken today, God, would become a reality to us. Lord, that we would no longer, ever again, take communion, Lord, from any kind of a traditional or a habitual mindset. But Lord, that it would be us receiving the very life from you, God, that you have waiting for us. Lord, we believe in your supernatural life, Lord. And we thank you that we have now taken in today, Lord, your supernatural life in us. And we just receive it with gratefulness. And we thank you, Lord, for the work that it's even doing in our bodies right now. And I just bless your people right now, Lord. I bless them in your name, Lord. And I just release, God, your anointing, your will, your plans, and your purposes to be fulfilled over these lives. Lord, as they lay down their natural life for you, God, and take up, Lord, their supernatural life, God, I just ask you to give them divine wisdom and guidance. Lord, lead them into all truth, Lord, and allow them to be a beacon for you in this dying age, God, that they would literally be life walking in their jobs, in their homes, in their times of play. God, that they would literally be God's life walking among mankind. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, moms, yes. And thank you, moms, for putting up with us all those years. Especially my mom really put up with me. Get your gift. Two each. So I guess we call these your parting gifts. God bless you. Love you.